Beloved Bhagwan, O Bhakus, partakers of brewer's grain, O Bhaku addressed the assembly and said, "You are all partakers of brewer's grain. If you go on studying Zen like that, you will never finish it. Do you know that in all the land of Tang, there is no Zen teacher?" Then a monk came forward and said, "But surely there are those who teach disciples and preside over the assemblies. What about that?" O Bhaku said, "I do not say that there is no Zen, but that there is no Zen teacher." Secho says, "Commanding his way of teaching, but he made it no point of merit. Seated majestically over the whole land, he distinguished the dragon from the snake. Emperor Tai Chu once encountered him and thrice fell into his clutches." Bhagwan, O Bhaku says there is no Zen teacher. It seems to me, therefore, that there can be no disciples. So, who are you and who are we? And the second question, O Bhaku seems to be saying that one cannot know Zen by experiencing one particle of brewer's grain. But I have heard you say, taste one drop of the ocean and you know the whole ocean. Can you please comment?
Manisha, Zen is the very principle of existence. Whether there is anyone who teaches it or not, whether there is anyone who learns it or not, it is there. Zen is the very heartbeat of existence. It is not dependent on any teaching, not dependent on any masters. Not dependent on disciples. Masters come and go. Disciples come and disappear. Zen remains. Just as it is, it is always just as it is. I have made my comment. Now I will take the anecdotes. Obaku addressed the assembly and said, "You are all partakers of brewer's grain. If you go on studying Zen like that, you will never finish it. Do you know that in all the land of Tang there is no Zen teacher? Then a monk came forward and said, "But surely there are those who teach disciples and preside over the assemblies. What about that?" Obaku said, "I do not say that there is no Zen, but that there is no Zen teacher. I hope things are very simple. If there is no Catholic Church, no Pope, there will be no Christianity, because Christianity has nothing to do with existence, essence. If there is no Shankaracharya, and no Hindu monks, existence will remain just the same as it is. Their being or not being does not affect the existence. Certainly their doctrines will disappear. Their congregations will not be held anymore. Their teachers and their masters and their disciples will not be there. And if these people think Hinduism is dependent on these scriptures, Shankaracharyas, then certainly there will be no Hinduism either. Except Zen, no religion has been so intensely clear about its own existential status . The others are only aware about their theologies, their scriptures, their teachers, their masters, their disciples, they are all very superficial, just waves on the ocean. But Zen has never for a single moment identified itself with the waves. It consistently emphasizes that I am the ocean. Waves come and go, the ocean remains. Many more waves will come and go. It does not affect the ocean in any way. Obaku was right when he said, there is no Zen as far as the essential experience is concerned. He was talking about it. There were many teachers of Zen and many followers of Zen. But they don't constitute the reality of Zen. For example, one day I was not, and one day I will be again not. The same is true about each of you. But the essence of existence knows no change. It remains, and that essence of existence is called Zen. It is not an ordinary religion like Hinduism, Christianity, Mohammedanism, Buddhism, Jainism, Judaism. I am including even Buddhism, because Zen is the essence. Everything else is just commentary. Zen is the experience. Everything else is just decoration. Obaku is right. Even though there are Zen masters and there are Zen followers, yet there is no Zen. In the sense that these teachings are all superfluous. And that these teachers are only knowledgeable. They know about Zen, but they have not lived it. They have only learned about it. And when the teachers themselves don't have Zen as a quality of their innermost being, how they can teach anyone? But still that does not mean that there is no Zen. Zen is another name of existence. And then you will be able to understand Obaku's statement very easily. Secho says, commanding his way of teaching, but he made it no point of merit. Seated majestically over the whole land, he distinguished the dragon from the snake. Emperor Taichu once encountered him and thrice fell into his clutches. Secho is appreciating tremendous insight of Obaku. His clarity of vision to make distinction between a snake from the dragon. His great capacity to be a master, commanding his way of teaching, but he is so humble that he made it no point of merit. Seated majestically over the whole land, he is just a beggar as far as the outside world is concerned. But because of his insight into the very center of existence, he is the real emperor. Even a great emperor, Taichu, once encountered him and thrice fell into his clutches. We don't know what were those clutches. They are not recorded, but they must have been of the same quality. For example, when somebody says, there is no Zen, although there are Zen teachers and Zen disciples, and at the same time he means that these disciples and these teachers make no difference. Zen is. Zen is rather isness. It is in the flowers and it is in the mountains and it is in the clouds. It is in the open sky and it is in the tremendous light of the sun, and it is also in the darkness of the night. It is. Everything else is commentary. A master is authentic when he knows it as his own being. A master is unauthentic when he does not know it as his own being, although he knows all the holy scriptures. He may be a learned scholar, and because of his learning he may find disciples, but both are sitting in a wrong boat. You are asking me, Bhagwan Obaku says there is no Zen teacher. It seems to me, therefore, that there can be no disciples. So who we are? And who you are. Obaku's statement does not concern this assembly. at least it does not concern me. He was talking only about his land centuries before, the land of Tang, a small province of China. He is not talking about eternity. He cannot talk about me or about you. I know Zen not from any scripture. I do not belong to the tradition of Zen. I belong to these clouds. I belong to existence on my own accord. I have found Zen not through the scriptures, that's why I can say even in Japan, there are only teachers and followers, no Zen. And I am an almost stranger to the tradition. But I have found Zen on my own accord. It is my discovery. It is not an inheritance with the tradition, inheritance from Mahakashyapa, Bodhidharma, Obaku. I don't have anything to these people. I don't owe anything to anybody. If Obaku was here, then Zen Master Niskriya would have pinched his nose, because he is not. As his representative, Master Niskriya pinch Manisha's nose. Manisha, Your second question is, Bhagwan, Obaku seems to be saying that one cannot know Zen by experiencing one particle of beaver's grain. But I have heard you say, taste one drop of the ocean and you know the whole ocean. Can you please comment? As far as my statement, I stand by it. Obaku or no obaku, I repeat again, if you have tasted a single drop you have tasted the whole ocean. Now you know its saltiness. If you have tasted one moment of silence, you have tasted its blissfulness, its benediction. I don't care what Obaku says. As far as this statement is concerned, he is wrong. I agree with his first statement unconditionally. In the same way, I disagree with his second statement also unconditionally. There is no possibility of compromise. And you can see my point is so clear. That Obaku unnecessarily becomes a laughing stock. He was doing perfectly well, but he went a little too far. He forgot that there will be coming people of greater insight and deeper clarity. Who will condemn his second statement. I am not a man who follows anybody. I am nobody's disciple. I have tasted existence. And I have declared that I have known it. Anything that goes against my experience is wrong.
Beloved, Book One. Basho's sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha. The great master Basho was seriously ill. The chief priest of the temple came to pay his respects. He asked, "How do you feel these days?" The master said, "Sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha." Setcho says, "Sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha. Compared with them, how pale the three sovereigns, the five ancestral emperors. For 20 years, I have had fierce struggles, descending into the dragon's cave for you. The hardship defies description. You clear-eyed monks, don't make light of it. Bhagwan, you rarely speak on any hardships you may experience for us. And I know that some of us tend to think you are beyond pain or discomfort because you have the capacity to witness everything. Some have expressed the idea that your illnesses are just devices for us. Could you please comment?" And the second question, "I have heard you say, this very body, the Buddha, and I have also heard you remind us that we are not the body. Would you talk about these seemingly opposing statements?"
Manisa, the clouds have come again. Basho's statement, sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha, looks like a puzzle. It is not. It is simply saying that Buddha is Buddha, whether he is sun-faced or moon-faced. Buddha is Buddha, whether he is sitting, standing, walking, or lying down. Buddha simply means in the world of Zen, your very nature. So whether it starts raining, you will be the same. Our clouds come thundering, you will be the same. in sickness, your consciousness does not become sick. In old age, your consciousness does not become old. In death, you are not dead. Your Buddhahood, your nature, your essence is immortal. This is my comment. The great Master Basso was seriously ill. The chief priest of the temple came to pay his respects. He asked, "How do you feel these days?" Just a formal question. But you don't ask formal questions to a man like Basso. Because a man like Basso is going to reply something which you had never expected. The Master said, "Sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha." In response to the priest's question, "How do you feel these days?" when he was sick, Basso is saying, whether I am sick or healthy, alive or dead, it does not make any difference to my essence. So don't ask such stupid questions. And Basso is certainly one of the most precious men ever born on the earth. Secho says, "Sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha, compared with them, how pale the three sovereigns, the five ancestral emperors. For 20 years I have had fierce struggles descending into the dragon's cave for you. The hardship defies description. You clear-eyed monks don't make light of it." Secho has improved a little bit, but a schoolmaster is a schoolmaster. It is really very unlikely for a schoolmaster to become enlightened. At least I have never heard any such incident when a schoolmaster has become a Buddha. Secho is trying. And because he is just a schoolmaster, knowledgeable, he is going to find great struggle in finding the truth. The truth is already found. Just you are not looking at it. There is no pain, no struggle. As far as knowing your being is concerned. But the pain and struggle comes in when you know too much about your being, your truth, your enlightenment. All that knowledge becomes mountainous. And then you have to struggle out from your own knowledge. It is the greatest difficulty to know and to become innocent. Your knowledge prevents you from becoming innocent. There is a struggle and there is pain and there is agony. But it has nothing to do with truth. It has to do something with your knowledgeability. First, he is just like a parrot, repeats sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha, there was no need to repeat it. Basu has said it. For 20 years I have had fierce struggles. I am absolutely certain that he must have struggled hard. But that struggle is not in finding the truth. That struggle is how to get out of your knowledge. The struggle is with the mind. The struggle is not with the being. Once you have erased all your knowledge and you have become only no knowing, Zen is in your empty hands. It has always been there. But because of knowledge, your eyes were not capable to see it. The struggle is with all those theories, theologies, philosophies which are covering your eyes like dust. Hence, I don't think that he is making a wrong statement. But he is understanding wrongly the reason of his struggle. A struggle has been there. It was almost as if one is descending into the dragon's cave and then coming out is almost impossible. Knowledge is a far bigger dragon. Secho is right that he has fought for 20 years, but he is not right that he has come out. He is still to fight a little more. He is on the right track. But even the right track is not the goal. And you are asking, Manisa, Bhagwan, you rarely speak on any hardships you may experience for us. And I know that some of us tend to think you are beyond pain or discomfort because you have the capacity to witness everything. Some have expressed the idea that your illnesses are just devices for us. Could you please comment? Just bullshit, Amrish. Fresh bullshit. I have not struggled at all. I have not suffered for finding the truth. Yes, I have suffered much in transferring it to you. I have taken every pain possible to make you aware of your reality. In a way, you are right. That my illnesses are my hardships. Are for you, not for me. Existence has been immensely compassionate as far as I am concerned. I have not taken even a single step and found it. The reason was that I never got in the clutches of knowledgeability. I never became a learned scholar, although there is hardly a single man who has read so much as I have read. But my readings could not pollute my consciousness. They could not corrupt my consciousness. Hence, they were just like signatures on water. I have read all the scriptures but I have not allowed anything to be accumulated and fill my inner emptiness. That emptiness is absolutely pure. And when I speak from my own emptiness, from my own purity, from my own innocence. Sometimes it coincides that is another matter. But it coincides only when something resembles absolutely my experience then I can say to Bodhidharma, I agree. Emptiness, no holiness, no knowing. But when I see a small difference, it does not matter with whom, for example, with Joseph, who is considered one of the greatest masters in the Zen tradition, I could not agree. Although what he was saying was not absolutely wrong, he was saying the way is not difficult. But even this much difference is enough, and I can see that he has missed the point. There is no way. Hence the question of its being difficult or easy does not arise. You are already there where you want to be. Manisha, I have suffered because I love you. Truth has been very easy to me. Love has been very difficult. Truth has been without any struggle. There was nothing to struggle with, just pure emptiness. But to transfer that emptiness to you has been a great struggle. I have been for 35 years continuously struggling in this way and that way to approach you, somehow to wake you up. Yes, in that I have suffered much, and I am going to suffer much. Unless you decide not to hide but expose yourself not to remain a seed, but start growing. I have suffered because I had to say things which go against traditions, religions, nations. I have made so many enemies in the world. That you can call me a great success. A great success in making enemies. Although I had wanted to be a friend, but this whole business of transferring truth creates enemies easily and friends very rarely. But I have enjoyed this struggle and will continue to enjoy whatever pain, whatever agony it brings. Perhaps a man like me is destined to be crucified. And that's what the politicians of the whole world and the religious heads of the whole world are trying. But they don't want my blood on their hands. They are trying in every possible way to silence me. The Attorney General of America, after harassing and torturing and poisoning said to the press conference, that all that we want is that Bhagwan should not be seen anywhere, not heard by anyone, no news media should report him. That is equivalent to a modern and sophisticated crucifixion. But they have not been able to be successful. and they are not going to be successful. Because nobody has ever loved you so much as I love you. Jesus loved his Father . You were just sinners to him. Gautam Buddha were afraid even to use the word love because it reminds of imprisonments, of chains, which are created in the name of love. I am the first in many senses I love you, and I love you so much that I am certain no government . No country, no army . Even if they join together . Now 24 countries have joined together that they will not allow me to enter in their lands. But I have lovers in their lands. Even my own country has created every kind of hindrance that I should not be heard by the masses. They don't allow me directly to move from my home. And they are trying to prevent people coming here from all over the world. But truth is not weak. And love is far more stronger than all the nuclear weapons. It may create pain and physical trouble for me, but nobody can put locks on my mouth. They can put chains on my hands, they had put. They can put chains on my feet, they have put. I am almost living in a situation which can be called house arrest. But I trust in love that it is going to be victorious. Even if they kill me, my voice will be heard around the earth as long as there is a single living human being. Manisha, your second question is, Bhagwan, I have heard you say this very body, the Buddha, and I have also heard you remind us that we are not the body. Would you talk about these seemingly opposing statements? They are certainly only seemingly opposite. When I have said this very body, the Buddha, and this very earth, the paradise, my meaning was that don't look anywhere else. Don't look there. Look here. Look in. And to make it possible to look in, I had to say sometimes that we are not the body. The first thing is to brought you here, this body, the Buddha, is just to bring you here, and once you are here, the second thing is, look within. You are not the body, but something that the body contains, the emptiness, the nothingness. There is no contradiction. There are two steps of a single process. Now, few moments to be devoted to laughter. This evening you have been too serious. The woman was happily sewing off her new mink coat to her friend. It was nice of your husband to buy you that beautiful coat, said the friend. He had to, replied the woman. I caught him kissing the maid. How terrible! Exclaimed the friend. Did you fire her? Not yet, replied the woman. I still need a new hat. A young woman went into a bank and asked the clerk for change of a $100 bill. She handed over the note, but the clerk took one look at it and said, I'm sorry, miss, but this $100 bill is a fake. Ah, my God, cried the woman, I have been raped. Guys, winter bottom. The farmer takes his small son Jasper to market one day. Winterbottom goes to look at the cows and strokes them, pulls their skin, and generally fondles them. Why do you do that? Asks Jasper. Well, you see, son, says Winterbottom, if you want to buy a cow, that is the best way to see if she is healthy. A few days later, Winterbottom is out in the fields when Jasper comes running up and says, Dad, there is a traveling salesman in the kitchen, and I think he wants to buy a mom. Three old Jewish mothers meet at a party in New York. There is nobody like my son, says the first. Every winter he buys me a new fur coat. That's nothing, gloats the second. My son takes me to the best travel agent in the town every year and arranges the summer vacation of my choice. That's all rubbish, laughs the third. My son goes to the most expensive psychiatrist in the whole world and all he does is talk about me. Now, 2 minutes of absolute silence. Close your eyes. Gather your energy in. Now, relax. Now, come back.
Yes, Bhagwan.